Confessions of a Trainwreck. Commandment number 130. Thou shalt remember that body confidence doesn't come from trying to achieve the perfect body. It comes from embracing the one that you have. Hola, train wrecks. Happy Tuesday and welcome back to what I truly hope is the best part of your week. I'm Phoebe, your podcast host and resident hot mess, who is thrilled to be back in your ears for yet another Train Wreck Tuesday. And boy, do I have something exciting for you today. This week's guest is an ARIA award-winning pop star, queen of the Kiss My Fat Ass movement, and overall, just a really, really rad human being. I think you all know exactly who I'm talking about. Yes, dolls, it's Amy Sheppard. Amy is a member of the Australian indie pop band Sheppard, who made headlines back in 2019 for all the right reasons when she coined the Kiss My Fat Ass movement, kind of by accident. An unedited Instagram photo turned into a global movement, a song, and a hashtag that's generated over 5,000 posts of women celebrating their bodies. To this day, Amy continues to share unedited photos in a bid to inspire women everywhere to love and embrace their bodies just the way they are. Love that for her. Love that for me. And love that for all of us.
And I'm good to go.
Yeah. Amazing. So welcome to the podcast, Amy Sheppard. I'm so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Now, before we get started, Instagram tells me that you've recently turned 30.
Dun, dun, dun.
And just a way of background, this podcast actually used to be called Confessions of a 20-something Trainwreck because I thought that when I turned 30, I would just magically get my shit together. I am now 31 and that is still not the case. So tell me, waking up at 30, do you feel any different than the way you did in your 20s?
Absolutely not.
No, great.
I feel exactly the same. I don't have things together and it's, yeah. I don't know. Isn't it funny? I wonder if like 60-year-olds feel this way. They just feel like the same. I guess they do. The same person.
I used to always read though in interviews with celebrities that they said that your 30s were the best decade of your life.
Oh my God.
I know, the pressure, right?
I know. But I feel good about that because, you know, the best is yet to come.
And you are getting married in your 30s. You have so many exciting things happening in your 30s.
I know, but I just feel like I don't want it all to happen at once and then the rest of my life be really, you know, a letdown.
Yeah. I get that. Space it out.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, the reason I wanted to get you on the show is because I admire your body positivity philosophy so, so much. And I think it is such an important conversation to have. And I know I'm literally like 2 years late to the party because this is a movement that you kind of started by accident in 2019. Is that right?
The beginning of 2019.
Yeah. I apologize in advance because I know that you've told this story probably so many times in every interview that you do, but I know the story. But just to let all the listeners who may not be familiar with the story, can you just explain the kind of light bulb moment that led you to the whole Kiss My Fat Ass movement?
Yeah, so it was actually a really long time coming. I mean, the quick version is what I give most of the time, but I guess it was coming for a really long time because I was getting really, really tired of seeing other people use Facetune and I would complain about it or roll my eyes when I saw it, but I was doing exactly the same thing because I guess that I felt like that's what I had to do to stay, I guess, relevant on Instagram or beautiful on Instagram, so I would do it as well. And then I started doing photos one after the other, like one was filtered and one was not. And I noticed that that was getting a really strong reaction. People were really loving seeing my photos that had no filter on it.
Really?
And that was kind of a light bulb moment for me where I was like, hang on a second. Like, people are shocked by seeing, you know, natural
the real
skin.
You. Yeah.
And so that led me to, really realize that what people are wanting was authenticity. And one day I was looking for content, freaking out because I had nothing to post, as we all do. And I did have this photo that my now fiance took of me by the pool. And I was looking back at him and it was a candid photo. And I really loved the photo, but I never posted it because I had cellulite on my legs. And I spent like 10 minutes. I was like, I love this photo. I know what I'll do. I'll face tune it. So I spent 10 minutes airbrushing the back of my legs and tuning it and making myself look thinner. And when I looked at it, I was like, oh, I just look like a Barbie doll, like that really fake airbrushed look. And yeah, I mean, it looked like everybody else on Instagram, but You know, I just thought it's really unfair of me to post this when I have so many young followers following me thinking that that's what I actually look like. And so I just thought, like, I've had enough. I'm just going to post the photo as it is. And I posted it, put my phone on charge because I was just, I needed a break from Instagram. And then I checked my phone like an hour later and it had gone off. It quickly became my most liked Instagram photo and everyone was like saying, thank you. I think the caption was just like, feast your eyes upon some cellulite because we're not all Barbie dolls. Mm. And people loved it. And I just couldn't believe it, that that was so shocking to people, and that really set things off for me. Yeah. The next post that I did was the Kiss My Fat Ass post, where I thought, I don't know, I just thought people were going to attack me for doing this. I thought that people were going to be like, that's disgusting, you're promoting obesity, rah, rah. But they never did. And then women started sharing their own Kiss My Fat Ass photos. Because I said, I think in the post I said, if you don't like it, you can kiss my fat ass. Amazing. And yeah, all these women were like, hashtag kiss my fat ass. And they were sharing their photos and being brave and using the hashtag. And it was amazing to see. It was so beautiful. And yeah, that's probably something that I'm most proud of today.
Yeah.
That would have been... I've got this eye twitch, so if I look really weird, I'm not winking at you.
You can if you want to.
Oh, God, stop twitching.
That would have been a really scary thing for you to do, yeah. Because I feel like especially there can be a lot of negativity surrounding body positivity and the whole use of, you know, the kind of, what's the right word, like... the controversy that comes with people being like, we're all real women no matter your size. And I think that it's really brave that you put something out there like that when, especially on a platform like Instagram, when you are opening yourself up to so much criticism at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. It shouldn't be brave, like showing your body for what it is shouldn't have to be brave, but it is scary, and which is why so many people do face tune themselves, because, you know, the standard that are put upon us is so unrealistic and it's huge. It's a lot of weight to carry around. So it feels great when you quit Facetune and whatever other apps are out there and you can just be your authentic self. And then when people see you in real life or you do want to go on the beach, you don't have to pretend that you're something else and you can just totally own it. And it's fine and nobody cares.
No, God, no. If anything, it just, I think it creates that sense of, I always have been of the belief that authenticity creates community. So when you see somebody on Instagram, like especially the younger girls, and I think if you grow up outside of the marketing industry or the entertainment industry, you don't realize that there are apps to do that. So you think that that's just what grown-ups look like.
I know.
Which is so dangerous.
Well, I still get fooled. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at her body. And then you're like, wait a second, bodies don't look like that.
Hang on, this is the cover of Vogue.
I know, and it's really scary because it is believable and it's just tweaked ever so slightly that you think, wow, she's got an amazing thigh gap, or look at her hips. Mm-hmm. And you can see it now, people are making like really small waists and big bums and big boobs, and it's so unnatural, but it looks normal. As you're scrolling, you see so much of it that it just becomes second nature. And then you're comparing yourself to these fake images. And as they say, the models don't even look like this.
No, exactly. And it's so scary what you can do. Like, I saw on an app recently, there's one that you can, I think you pick your hips and your knees and you can lengthen your legs, but then you look like this weird, like, bird.
It's weird.
It's very strange.
Like it. But it is scary and people get really good at it and it does look natural. I think it's dangerous. Mm. People shouldn't have access to that.
Oh, God, no. No. And also, they cost so much money and it's just such a waste of time.
I know. It is. And people don't even like it. People like the real thing, apparently.
Exactly. Now, this is a controversial thing for me to ask, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but I feel like it's important to note that even though we do obviously promote body positivity, I think it's important for people to know that it is still normal to have negative feelings sometimes about your body when you're having a bad body image day, for example. So do you still sometimes ever get the temptation to Facetune if you see a photo? Because I know recently, I just told you before, I was in Northern Territory on the weekend, and similarly to you, my boyfriend took a candid photo of me from behind wearing togs, and I went to upload it. And I saw, oh, I have a little bit of cellulite at the top of my legs. Oh, it would be nice to get rid of that. Stop myself from doing it, obviously. Yeah, but you still sometimes do catch yourself having those thoughts.
Yeah, 100%. I recently, as you said, got engaged, as you said in the beginning of the episode, which was a huge moment for me, as it is for many women. And I had a huge pimple on my cheek that day. And just one of the most beautiful photos is, I think... me kissing Lockie's cheek with the ring in the photo.
Yeah.
And I so badly wanted to edit that photo
out.
The pimple out. Because I was just like, oh, it's ruining the whole photo. But then I just thought, it's not going to be worth the guilt that I feel over that photo.
No.
I'd rather it just be authentic. And I had a pimple that day, and that's
normal.
Totally normal and
exactly.
Fine. I still get pimples. And anyway, it's still a beautiful photo, and I framed it, and it's on my wall now.
Amazing. And I think it's important to note that, especially with photos like that, you're capturing a moment, not an image.
I know.
And that's not the important part of a photo.
That's so true. We get so caught up in everything being perfect that we forget about, the feelings that we felt that day rather than how everything looked perfect.
Absolutely. And did you foresee the Kiss My Fat Ass movement turning into what it is? Because, you know, as well as having this massive kind of following on Instagram, and then it was all over like news articles and websites everywhere, and you were on podcasts and things like that, and then you launched a song.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely not. Like, I never thought that one post could lead to all of this. And it still shocks me that people care about my cellulite that much.
Mm.
But it's also nice because it's all been really positive, and I guess that I've made an impact in people's lives, and I really do appreciate it when I get messages from women saying, you know, I wore a bikini today because of your movement, and that's what it's all about, and that's why I keep posting it. Sorry, what was your second question? I've gone blank now.
No, that's fine. I'll just ask you something off the back of that. You must get like hundreds of messages constantly about this. Is there any one in particular that really stands out to you and makes you realise, like, damn, I am so glad I did this?
Well, just those messages, like, you know, mums that will message me and say that they played with their child for the first time on the beach in a bikini because of my movement. And that's so special to me. It brings a tear to my eye. I get emotional speaking about it because I just can't imagine, you know, well, I can imagine because I've been through it, you know, holding back on life because you're scared of the other people's judgment. And, you know, life is for living, and I just never want my followers or me to feel like they have to cover up because of what other people might think of you or say about you. It's like, who cares? Kiss my fat ass.
100%.
Live your life, because life is so short and so precious and can be snuffed out in an instant. And I think if you were to look back and realize that you'd missed out on these important moments because you're worried about your jiggle, then you'd be really disappointed in yourself.
So freeing. Such a freeing thought. And you said earlier that obviously it was a long time coming and that it was something that you'd wanted to do for a long time. Do you remember, and sorry if this is putting you on the spot, but do you remember like the moment or how old you were when you kind of experienced your first negative thought about your body?
I think I would have been about 8 or 9, like really young.
Yeah.
I was a really chubby kid. I guess my BMI was obese, and
well, how glad that that's outdated now.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, looking back, I actually wasn't that big, but I was a chubby kid and I was bullied for being fat. And I remember like being weighed in class, and like everyone had to be, everyone was weighed publicly in class, and I was the heaviest out of everybody, like all the boys and all the girls. And I was so embarrassed from that point on. I think that must have been when I went on a diet for the first time, because I was like so embarrassed to be the heaviest. And obviously kids were laughing, and that just has stuck with me ever since. And since then I've tried every single diet under the sun.
Yep.
I know how many calories are in every single piece of food. And it's a really hard one to leave behind.
Yeah.
Up until 2 years ago, I was still dieting, you know, the yo-yo. I'd go up and down. It's relentless, and I'm just so glad, and I'm so much happier now that I've let that all go. And I'm a little bit, well, I'm not even bigger, I'm just like a normal healthy weight for my body type. And that is probably bigger than I originally wanted, but I don't care. Like, it's not even, it's so worth, you know, those extra few kilos are so worth being able to go out for dinner and, you know, eat what I want rather than being like, I'm on the keto diet, I can't eat that and that and that and that. And it's just like exhausting.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that so many girls can relate to. Someone actually once told me that your goal weight is when you are the happiest. And that has always been something that stuck with me, because I'm the same. I've been stuck in a really bad, you know, restrictive cycle. I've been on every diet. And I think that's something that so many girls can relate to. And I just find it fascinating to find out kind of at what point of people's lives that started, and especially for you growing up as like an entertainer and things like that. People, do you find that people kind of blame your industry? And I'm going to stand up for your industry for a second, because I have an example that's quite similar. I grew up doing ballet, and I think I've spoken before on this podcast before about how I suffered an eating disorder for many years, but it wasn't during my ballet years. And I think a lot of people blamed my history with ballet as to why I developed this eating disorder. Obviously, not completely separate. And I actually grew up with a beautiful role model, a teacher. She used to bring dietitians in all the time to, you know, educate us about what we should be eating to fuel our bodies for the amount of dancing that we were doing and things like that. She banned the word fat from being used in the studio. And if anything, she kind of gave us a healthier relationship with our bodies. But do you find that people blame kind of the music and entertainment industry on kind of giving you negative body image?
Well, I think just the media in general has a lot to explain and answer for. But my issues, my body image issues started way before then. I was 8 years old when I started dieting. So, and it got really bad throughout high school and just after high school. But I think, you know, once I was in the limelight, I mean, that did make it worse because I was worried about even more what people would think of me. But I don't know. Yes and no. Not so much the industry, but just having all eyes on you. And I remember, like, I had just been on this, like, crazy diet in the height of Geronimo, and I was just, like, so stressed, hardly eating, missing home. And I think, yeah, dieting and not eating was a way to control all of that craziness in my life.
I totally understand that.
Yeah. And I just remember, like, seeing comments being like, oh, Amy looks really good. Like, what's she doing? Like, she's fresh. And then people would be like, oh, she's lost weight, you know, and comments like that being so readily available for you
to
read.
And it fuels you.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a vulnerable kind of position and people are commenting and almost praising you when you know that you're not right.
Yeah, I was so drained and tired and cranky. And, yeah, getting those comments made me feel like I couldn't get out of that. Like, I had to continue because if I'd put on weight, then you'd be judged for, putting on weight. And I did get judged for putting on weight when I did, but I don't care because I'm so much happier.
Absolutely.
And I just, like, I love my life now and I just can't go back. I cannot starve myself to fit into a tiny pair of jeans ever again.
No,
never.
No point. And so how was your relationship with food and exercise change? Like, what did it look like then in comparison to what it looks like now?
Well, back then, a lot of yo-yo dieting. So I was either being really good and restrictive, or I was being, like, off the rails and just eating whatever I could and would get my hands on and just like demolish everything. And now I use, like, intuitive eating a lot. You know, sometimes I'll eat more. Obviously, if I'm out, I'll eat the pizza and I don't even want to think twice about it because I'm there for my friends or whoever I'm out to dinner with. But then other days, like, I really feel like a salad because, you know, you get that craving for vegetables and I just really have tuned into what my body wants.
Yeah.
And of course, different days, you know, the balance shifts a little bit, but it always, your body knows what it wants and it always seems to come back to this normal, healthy weight. And I found, intuitive eating to be really helpful, but it's taken me a while to get to here. Like, it's been a big learning curve and I've put on weight and I've managed to, like, even out now. So
yeah,
it is scary to really let go of the reins when it comes to dieting, but once you can kind of even yourself out, it's so worth it because now I don't have to stress about that part of my life anymore. It's done. I can just be me and concentrate on things that I'm good at rather than what I'm eating.
Things that matter.
Things that matter.
Yeah.
That's so right. And relationships and being happy. And it's just like when you look back, now that I look back on it, I'm just like, I can't believe I wasted so much time and energy because, you know, being hungry does take a lot of mental space, a lot of mental space. I just remember being in school, like, looking at the clock being like, is it lunchtime yet so I can eat my apple? Like, oh my God, I should have been focusing on the board, you know?
On doing my homework, on finishing, I know. And it's amazing how much more energy and just, like, happiness and everything in your life improves when you actually start to, I think, treat your body just kindly. Not even, I wouldn't even go as far as, like, I don't know. I just think that we all need to be a little bit kinder to ourselves and our bodies are so much smarter than what we actually give them credit for.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, you're promoting obesity, you know, that argument. And I'm like, well, no, it's about loving yourself more. And if you love yourself, you're not going to go and binge and totally wreck yourself in the opposite direction. It's like, no, it's having self-respect and really listening to, what your body's asking you to do.
obviously have come a very, very long way in your journey, but also you're human and also you're a woman. And we all know that our hormones go wild and, you know, that we are not exempt from negative body image days, particularly around your period week when, like, I just blow up like a blimp. Like, I'm so bloated. I'm so hungry. I just want all the ice cream. What are some of your go-to kind of tips or ways that you kind of handle those bad body image days?
Well, I think just being rational about things, you know, rational. What did I say? Rationable.
Rational.
Oh, God. Being rational about, oh, God, I've said it again. Rational. One of those days today, I think. And just realizing, yeah, okay, my period's coming. Obviously, I'm bloated. Remember that. You're not going to feel great in your jeans. So wear a dress, you know, be comfortable and just throw out the scales. Like, I cannot emphasize that.
Yes. Enough. I have not weighed myself in years. Yeah. I could not even tell you how long it's been.
Yeah, me too. That was one of the best things I ever did, was throw out the scales, because then you just don't know, and it doesn't, and you realize it doesn't even matter. Like, why do you need to know how much you weigh?
That's why I get mad sometimes at doctors when they're like, and how much do you weigh now? I'm like, excuse me, sir, it does not matter how much I weigh.
Yeah, like, it really doesn't matter unless, you know, you are taking medication and really need to know, or you're about to go skydiving or something. Like, you absolutely don't need to get on the scales.
Yeah.
So throw them out. Don't worry about that. And give yourself a compliment. I know when I first started this body, positive body image stuff, I read that you should give yourself a compliment. And every time you're going to say something bad about your body, you should replace it with a compliment. And I did it, and I just, I hated it at first. And I was like, this is so lame. It's like, this is never going to work. Like, I don't believe it. But the more often you do it, it becomes habit and you start to believe it. So yeah, now I look at my cellulite, I'm like, oh, that's cute. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, I believe it now. It sounds so weird, but I used to hate my bum so much because, you know, I've got a bit of a booty, and
but that's
used to hate it.
People face tune their bodies to look like. People want booties.
I know, it's crazy, but I just would do anything to get rid of it. I would have wished it away if I could have. And now I love it. I've convinced myself that I do.
Is that just because you think you've changed the dialogue and the way that you speak to yourself?
Yeah, it's just it's a mindset thing completely, because there's been times where I've been thinner than I am now and I hated my body. Whereas now I'm a bit bigger and I don't, I love it. And it's just about having respect for yourself and just, I guess, disregarding anyone else's opinion. Because if you love your body, then it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks of you.
Absolutely. I actually did an episode a few weeks ago with a voice coach, and one of her tips for confidence was recording little pep talks into the audio section of your phone and then playing them when you're having a bad day.
Oh,
so that's actually
nice.
Given me a really good idea, like on like a bad body image day, recording something when you're feeling really good about yourself, being like, hey, you sassy little queen, you look good today. Look at those boobs, look at that butt. And then just like playing it to yourself when you're having a shitty day.
It's so funny. I saw this graph on Instagram and it was like, your perception. It was like this huge, like, mountains and pits and peaks of, you know, what you feel like. Like, I feel huge. I feel great. I feel huge. I feel great. And then another graph line was like in reality, and the graph is hardly moving. It's like, and it's so true, because your perception of yourself can change so much, but that's all it is one perception.
Yeah.
So if you can change your perception to be positive, then you can change your whole outlook on life.
Yeah. I love that a lot. Now, you inspire so many people, men and women, everybody all around the world. Who are some of the people that inspire you the most? And not necessarily just for body positivity, but just in general.
I've got to say my grandma, because she's had an amazing life. She came over in the war. She had to get on a ship and she traveled from Yugoslavia. It was Yugoslavia back then, Croatia. And she left her whole family behind, never saw them again, and started her life in Kalgoorlie in Western Australia. And she lived with these people that she'd never know. Like, I think they were her distant cousins, and they made her pay board, and she ended up having to learn English and just had this really hard life. Ended up having 7 kids. Her husband died when she was like in her 40s. So she had to work like 3 jobs and just had it really, really tough. And she is the best woman that you'll ever meet. She's so loving and she loves life. And I think that's the best role model that you can have, is like someone who just keeps going and pushing through the adversity and still has a zest for life after everything she's been through. It's amazing. And I think I see some people and they've got it all and they still can find things to complain about.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show, like, it's all about your perspective and how you choose to live your life. So I always try and live my life like my grandma and just, you know, take it on the chin some days, but just, you know, get back up and do the best you can, because, you know, life is a gift.
Exactly. That is an amazing answer. And do you have, like, an overarching goal for this kind of movement, or is it just something that you want to continue on with for as long as you can?
I don't really have a goal with it. I've never really set out to gain anything from it, but I just want to keep inspiring people along the way, and hopefully, you know, I just want to be part of the solution, not the problem. So however I can do that, I will continue, and we'll see what it goes, you know, becomes and what it leads to. But at the moment, like, I'm not doing it to gain anything. So I'll just keep rolling with it.
I'm going to upload something now. I feel like I really want to.
Yeah, go
for
it.
Add to the hashtag.
Join the hashtag.
Yeah, how can people get involved if they want to get involved?
Well, if you're feeling up to it, use the hashtag KissMyFatAss and upload a photo of you in a bikini or whenever you're feeling fierce. And yeah, just share the message of self-love with all of your friends and followers, because it all starts with you and it's like a ripple effect. Mm. You know, I've seen the way that I've affected some people and they've gone on to start their own movements, and it's amazing to see the love spread, and it can really change people's lives. You think that your little post, even if you're not an influencer, you think it's only going out to 100 people. You never know, like, that one person could really be affected by your one post. So yeah, be brave, and you got this, girl.
Be brave and post. Don't you second guess me,
no. Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.